Okay, we're about to start. Here we go. So we're Parshas Nosson, just finishing Kabbalat HaTorah, as we're getting on, moving into the summer months. So the Nesiv HaSholem has one piece, which we didn't do last year, so that's what I'm going to focus on now. Birchas Kohen, and Parshas Nosson, which is the longest parasha of the year. A lot of different things are going on. And one of them that comes up is Birchas Kohen, that the Kohen have the ability to give bracha to Klal Yisrael. The psukim of Yirecha, Hashem Yisrecha, Yor Hashem Panav Elecha V'chunecha, Yisra Hashem Panav Elecha V'yasa M'chosha. Very nice. So we need to understand a few things about Birchas Kohanim in general. First question, how does bracha work? How does it work that the Kohen decides he wants to give you a bracha, Klal Yisrael just answers Amen or whatever, and we get a bracha? What does that mean? Doesn't everything come from Hashem? Like, how does this work? What's this methodology of a Kohen giving the bracha? Now, in the Hasidish circles, of course, they have the Hasidim, the Rebbe gives brachas, but, you know, there isn't a Makor and the Torah necessarily for that, but I mean, really, more comes from this concept of his Kohen, maybe he's still giving brachas to Esav. There is a concept of Gedol, and he can give a bracha, so to speak, as well. So what is it? How do we understand the concept of giving brachas? Secondly, there's something unique about this particular bracha more than any other bracha. Because
what's the question? What's the bracha?
What does it mean giving a bracha? How do you have the power? How does it work? What's the mechanism of how it works? If Hashem wants someone to have something, you're going to have something. If he doesn't want it, you don't. So you decide you're giving someone a bracha, all of a sudden he gets it, he doesn't get it. Like, how does that work?
All right.
What ability do you have to change or alter or do something through a bracha? How does that work?
Right, this kasha coming up now. Brachas and parshas Vayechi, there were brachas with...
You're right. The truth is, it applies to everything. But there's going to be a specific point that I'm going to bring out of Birchas Kohanim. We're going to explain brachas in general, and then Birchas Kohanim has even a little bit more than that, as we're going to find out. Okay? Right, but you're right. It's not unique to this. That's why I brought in, when rabbis give brachas to different things in Hagadah Klal Yisrael, there's definitely something about the concept of bracha that we need to understand. And specifically here by Birchas Kohanim, as Yitzi pointed out, what's unique here is when we normally, before we do a mitzvah, we make a bracha, shekik shalom, a mitzvah, yisavetivanu, alutilazulov, almitzvah, whatever, right? So this particular Birchas Kohanim, Chazal Misakin a bracha. And the bracha that the Kohen makes is Asher Kidshanu, Biktu Shosei Shel Aaron, that you are Mekadosh, as the Kohen makes this bracha, Biktu Shosei Shel Aaron, with the Kedush of Aaron, B'tzivanu, and you commanded us to Baruch Es Am Yisrael B'Ava. So, this sounds a little different. If it's the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, as it's in the Torah, that the Kohen should give brachas, what do we say, Biktu Shosei Shel Aaron? Where did that come in? The Kedush of Aaron gives a bracha, Hashem was like every bracha he makes. Whatever. With Kedushas Hashem Aaron come in? Why does Aaron get mixed in there? That's question number one that the Nesiv Shalom hits. And then he adds another point. The ending of the bracha is also, there's an emphasis, which he says, Levorech Amo Yisrael B'Ahava. To bench Klai Yisrael with love. Also, in a nusach of a bracha, I mean, every mitzvah would have. What's the lavarik? It's Am Yisrael b'ava. That we end up this biggest crying, not only Kedushah Hashem Aaron, but Ava. So these two unique expressions in this nusach of the bracha is unique to Birchas Kohanim, and we need to understand what exactly they're telling us. Okay. Now let's go to one more question. And the Seder Shalom says in a piece later on, the Medrash in this week's parasha explains on the end of this bracha of Birchas Kohanim, the climax of the bracha is Yisra Hashem Panav Elecha V'yasa M'chosha, and Hashem should turn his face to you and give you peace. So the Medrash says, Godol HaShalom, great is Shalom, Shein Chosin Kol Tzila L'Shalom, the end of every Tzila is with Shalom, Vein Chosin Birchas Kohanim L'Shalom, we end the Birchas Kohanim with Shalom. Shalom is great. Shalom is great. Phenomenal. Okay, Godel Shalom. and we say the Medrash goes on later in other places, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom, the name of Mashiach is Shalom, Yisrael is called Shalom, many psukim brought about that, about Shalom, 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 Shalom. And until we say Shema Yisrael Me'itei Hashem Yivarech Etam Ova Shalom, Shalom is everything. So we need to understand Shalom is so great. So what is what is this unique bracha of Shalom? What does Shalom accomplish? What does Shalom do? That Shalom is like the greatest thing in Pimach. Bracha of Shalom, the Gemara says, Shalom is really above everything. So let's understand Shalom and the real bracha of Shalom. So let's begin to analyze our questions again. Number one, understanding the mechanism of how bracha works. Number two, kedushas shalaron and the ending of the bracha, l'barachas amitzopi ahava. And then the medrash that says that God will shalom and shalom, there's nothing greater than shalom. Okay, so let's begin here. So he explains the following. And the Seder Shalom says it goes back to really the creation of the world. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a way where there's a foundation. There's something called a mashpia and a mekabel. So there's like an influencer or a giver and a receiver. Right. So in creation, for example, before we get to mankind, Hashem created the ground, the earth, and then also rain as the mashpia to give bracha to the earth, the sun to shine, to help plants grow, etc. That the Bria has this mechanism of a giver and a taker, but this concept of giving, as the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Ki Amayti Olam Chesed Yibaneh. The world is built on chesed. And it means that through the midah of Ahava, the midah of a mashpia to Mekabel, what connects a mashpia, an influencer, a giver to a Mekabel? The mashpia wants to give to the Mekabel, right? And just like we have by Inyanim of Gashmiya, this concept that Hashem set up the world this way, and it's impossible to get any bracha without this mechanism, so too in the Olam Aruchni, Hashem set up a world where there's a Mashpia and a Mekabel, and that connector that the Mashpia wants to influence the Mekabel is what creates this energy of where the Mekabel receives something. So there's a concept that through Ahava, through that bond of the want and the desire of the Mashpia to give to the Mekabel, Hashem then sends bracha to the world. So in other words, and there's something even more specific here. Let me try to give an example too. There's really two pieces to this. There's the way that Hashem set up the world, that there's a mashpia and a mekabel, there needs to be ava, as the world is built with chesed, in order to give. There's got to be a desire to give, a want to give, and that creates, therefore, if we want to give, Kadosh Baruch Hu will then send the bracha. But again, it works with what we do down here. When we act in a certain ways, that unleashes that kayak and shemayim, and that influence of bracha, that shefa of bracha, but only when we mimic and we show that we want to be mashpia as well, and we want to do those steps of Ava to others. And specifically, there seems to be something more specific with Berachas Kohanim than any other bracha. I'm going to go back and explain bracha in a slightly different way in a moment, but let's first focus on this concept of Ava and connecting him with Shmiyah Mekabel. Aaron HaKohen, as I'll say, a famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, says, "How you tell me those shall Aaron, that we should be of the students of Aaron." What does it mean to be a student of Aaron? Oiv shalom, v'roidei shalom, oiv esabiyos v'kavon l'tara. He loves peace. He chases peace. He loves people. And he's v'karv v'l'tara, and he brings him close to Torah. So oiv and oiv and oiv. He loves, he loves, he loves, and he wants to give, and he gives. That's Aaron HaKohen. So Aaron becomes the vehicle, so to speak, the conduit to be mashpia, this Ava to Klal Yisrael, because that is his midah. His essence is all about Ava and love for people and true love and Kavod HaBriyos. Therefore, the Nusach of the Bracha is very specific. that we're making a bracha b'kedushas shel Aaron in the kedusha of Aaron. What is the kedusha and the essence of Aaron? And kedusha means, as I've said this before, kedusha doesn't just mean holy, which has no translation. Kedusha means distinct and separate, as Rashi tells us about his kedushim. The uniqueness and distinction of Aaron, according to kedushas shel Aaron, what is the uniqueness of Aaron? Is what the bracha is given through. It's yivanu l'berachas am yisrael pi'ahava. It's with the love of Aaron HaKohen, the love, that means of love, that he wants good for everybody to the point. As we said, when he first found out, the Gemara said, his measure springs us down. When Aaron HaKohen found out that Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. And remember, Aaron was really the leader in Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Moshe was living in Midian and was away from everybody for a while. Moshe comes back and he's appointed by Hashem. It says, Aaron Barachov is Samach Belibai. Aaron saw him and was grateful. And he was happy. He was happy for his brother that he got the job. He was happy. Because why? Because he has true ahava for somebody else. It's not about himself. It's not about his position. It's not about him doing something. It's love for people. And love to spread the love from my Kodesh Baruch Hu with every member of Klal Yisrael. That's the uniqueness and distinction of Aaron HaKohen. So specifically in this bracha, the Nusach of the bracha, as I said, we're going to coin it and we're going to make it exactly tailor-made to what Aaron represents. To do Shasta Shel Aaron, to bench Klal Yisrael B'Ahava, that is the uniqueness of Birchas Kohanim. To give that utmost love and respect for another human being. That's what Aaron HaKohen wants. He wants the best for everybody. No matter who you are, no matter who you may be. And Aaron was the master. As Chazal told us, the master of bringing shalom amongst people. Aaron would even go on one side. He saw two people would be arguing. He would go over to somebody and say, you know what, he really feels bad about it. And then he'd go over to the other person and say, you know, he really feels bad about it. And then when they saw each other, they would make up. He would do his utmost to go out of his way to bring people together. So Aaron is the vehicle, and his descendants are the vehicle that brings shalom to Klal Yisrael. But again, brachas comes by how we act in this world, then Hashem sends that bracha. And Aaron shows that mitzvah of love, and his descendants have to have that character as well. That mitzvah of ahava for Klal Yisrael.
What's
that mean, Kedusha? So I've said Kedusha. As I said, what is the translation of Kedusha? Kedusha does not just mean holy. Kedusha means the distinctness and separateness of something. As we say, Christ is an Am Kadosh, we're distinct, we're unique. Rashi says the word Kadosh means proofish, separate, something that's recognizable. So the Kedusha of Aaron is Ava. That's what it is. What is the uniqueness of the Kedusha of Aaron? It's the Ava that Aaron has, the love for every year, the love for every person, the love for Brios, the want everybody to succeed, and to give bracha to everybody, that genuine, sincere feeling of wanting success for everyone. That is the uniqueness of Aaron. And that is the bracha b'chas kainim, that the kainim give to Klal Yisrael. We want the best for you. We want everything the best for you. Let me just share a story. We talk about wanting the best for everybody. Or you have to be someone who really is sensitive to human beings. Right? Someone who really just wants to see the good for everybody. Doesn't want to see the bad. Doesn't want to see anyone hurt, Chas v'Shalom. And is constantly feeling the desire of other people and feeling the pain of others and connecting to them. So the story that I once heard from an Adam Gadol, that he said the following. There was this Rebbe in Yeshiva, and his Yeshiva was an older man who was a big Talmud Chacham, big Tzaddik. And one day they walked into the Beis Medrash, or he walked out of the Beis Medrash, the person walked out of the Beis Medrash into the hallway. He's walking down the hall past the classroom, and he notices the Rebbe in the classroom, and the Rebbe's crying, and is shaking, and is just like really not in good shape. So he walks inside thinking something's wrong, what happened, you know, something terrible must have happened, and he tries to calm the Rebbe down. And the Rebbe finally gains his composure, and he says to him, Rebbe, everything okay? Like, what's going on? And the Rebbe said to him, let me ask you a question. If you read in the paper today that someone was shot, was killed, would it bother you? Okay, he's like, yeah, I mean, you know, it should bother me, of course. Yeah, you know, I feel bad someone got killed. He says, if it was someone you knew, he says, sure, of course it would bother me. Of course it would bother me. And he was like wondering what's going on here. What happened? The Rebbe saw, like what happened? And the Rebbe said to him, you know, Chazal tell us that when you embarrass someone publicly, you kill them. He said, I just saw someone embarrass someone in front of other people. I saw someone murder someone in front of my eyes. How can I not cry? And he was crying to the point where he was shaking. That he was so disturbed by the scene that he just saw. He was so disturbed that he saw someone embarrass another Yid. And he was crying bitter tears. That he saw a murder in front of his eyes. That's sensitivity. That's Ava for people. That's real. Someone who looks at every person, every human being is special. And if something happens that takes away your life, it tears into the core that he's visibly shaken. And he almost can't recover. It took him a while to control himself. And I think that, unfortunately, in our society, we've gotten too used to statistics, to numbers. You know, what's the COVID death total today? You know, how many people were killed today? How many, whatever, and just like, it's a number. You flip through it, it's not even interesting. People pass by and go to the sports section. I mean, we don't even notice it. Let's think for a second. You have to sensitize ourselves to human life. This is Parsha Bichas Kayin, and it's about Ava, that, as we just mentioned, the Ava that Aaron has to every human being. The Kayin is a B'ya Sotera. So we as Klal Yisrael have to have a feeling for every person. Respect, clearly, for Klal Yisrael, for every Talmud Lakim as well. That we something has to move us. That when we there are events in the world and things that happen, we have to think, what's the message for Klal Yisrael? What are we supposed to take? So I don't want to get politically charged here. That's not the point of this share tonight or any, I don't want to go in that direction at all, but I think it's important to share a limud here about what's going on today in general. And I think we first have to understand this concept of respect for every person. That's Alabase and Klal Yisrael, it's Alabase and who we are. But we can't get confused with political agendas. Those aren't necessarily the same things as real respect to human life. Real respect to human life is showing covet every day for another human being. Real respect is consistency. That we don't just protest when there's police brutality, and we don't protest when there's someone who's shot in his neighborhood in a simple crime, which there are many, many more of those. And we don't protest, or we don't have the same feeling when people are robbed and murdered every day. There's an imbalance here, right? There's an imbalance. Again, I want to make it clear, what happened was a horrific crime. There's no question. And no one's going to defend that officer who did what he did. No one is going to defend him. It was clearly, clearly, clearly murder. No other way to put it. The aftermath of the following of how people are now, we're going to champion the cause of someone who was being arrested that got killed in a brutal way. What about the person who got killed for just being innocent in his house? The many hundreds and hundreds of murders every year in Chicago. Right? We don't protest those human lives. They don't mean anything. What about so many other instances? And now with all the COVID cases, we don't get up and we don't dive in. What does it mean? We don't want to get moved by it. In general, Kleisel is not about machad. We're not about protesting. Right? We're not about protesting. But we should be about bracha. And we want bracha and good to be to humanity. We want bracha for everybody. So what should we be feeling? We should be dominating the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That we should have a sensitivity about human life, period. if the Velt is making such a tumult and turning it into something perhaps maybe politically inspired, but maybe we have to take a step back and realize every human life means something. If thousands of people are getting together about one human life, for whatever reason, for whatever agenda they have, shouldn't Klai Yisrael, every person is an idol molly that Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us, shouldn't we feel the sense of loss of every single person that was lost in the coronavirus, of every single person that never fell in different ways over the last month, anything we read in the news or people we know, anything. We should just be affected to some degree that we value human life. That should be the message. I share this statistic. As my brother-in-law was Nifter, one of the people that was Nifter during this coronavirus season, and left over 60 Simon, six orphans. And I was called an organization because, we were working on trying to get support for them. And I was told the following. I was told that there were 211 new Yisraelim, new orphans, over this that month or 6 week period of where there were so many deaths related to coronavirus, like around Pesach time. Think about that for a second. 211 children that are orphaned, dozens of almanas, dozens of widows. How many lives are turned over? Are we even thinking about it during davening once a day? Hashem, just make everyone's life easier. Are we thinking that there should be tzfusim and merits for the people who are nifter? Should we care about human life? Or we just go on and we just forget? And now already we're getting over the virus. Let's move on. We're never supposed to forget. You know, on Shavuos we have an Indian of Yitzchak. And on Shavuos we go and we say that Yitzchak, remember the dead. Remember the neshama. Because Klai Yisrael, we know that a neshama is internal. A neshama doesn't just leave this world and is done, and that's it. A neshama is an everlasting effect. A neshama is nitzchiyah. Therefore, we have to have that feeling for our fellow members of Klai Yisrael and anyone who's nifter, and for every Tzelem Alekim, really. Neshamas may be different, but there's a Tzelem Alekim out there. There's something nitzchi about everything. Therefore, it's not just something that we take lightly. And if we're going to do something, we should have in mind, just like people have in mind doing things for the Kaddish and for other people, we should have in mind the people who just lived there recently. Where is our feeling? Our feeling for Klal Yisrael. So, just bringing up that point, that perhaps maybe what's going on in the world around us, again, not getting into the political ramifications and the questions and motives of people who are doing different things, but there is a hesaris about a human life. And therefore, maybe that's a message to Klal Yisrael, that we have to be thinking about those human lives that were lost recently, and that we have to have more of a sensitivity in general. And that means, Kolshkein v'Kolshkein to the living people around us, how much more their acheres and ava and kavod we have to have for those that are near and dear to us every single day. And really this concept of bracha, getting back to this concept of bracha, the concept of bracha works also in another way. Besides just Aaron HaKohen having the Ava, the Mishnah Eliyahu talks about this by the brachas of Yitzchak, as Yitzi brought up earlier, and the brachas of Yaakov. So how does it work? Yitzchak tells Esav, go bring me some food and I'm going to give you a bracha. Like, what does that mean? Yaakov says, everyone come around, I'm giving you a bracha. So what is the effect of the bracha? How do they have the ability to possess with powers? What does this mean? So we have to understand it maturely. It's not that they have special powers. No, that's not what it means. Yes, big tzaddikim have kochos. They understand spirituality, but this is how it works. It works the following way. Then when a person is turning to someone who's at a higher spiritual level than them and asking them for a bracha, such as Yaakov and Esav who went to Yitzchak, such as the Shvatim who went to Yaakov, such as the Minig of Klal Yisrael going to the Rebbe to brachas, the big people in Gedolim for brachas. So when we do that, Are we saying we put our trust in you and not in Hashem? No. That's not what we're doing. Hashem is the ultimate giver of everything. We're not putting our hands in the mirror in the hands of a human being. That's not what we're doing. But this is what we are doing. By turning to that person, we're saying we need help in whatever area it may be. That person who's a tzaddik, who's a gadol, understands that he's not giving a brach either. But if this person is asking me to daven for him and feel for him, I'm going to strengthen my davening to Hashem on his behalf. So what ends up happening is the person who's a mekabel is actually also giving to the brach, to the person who's giving the bracha. Because he's enabling that person to work harder on his avoda, to daven to Hashem for someone else and get closer to Hashem. So this is how it works. You enabling a tzaddik to get closer to Hashem and daven with more feeling and hergish for you, you cause him to have a closer relationship with Hashem. That cause of bringing him closer and ruchni to Hashem, in turn, comes back at you. So Hashem says, you cause someone to get closer to me, I'm then going to send you something as well and bring you closer to me as well. It all works through Abba in different ways. It works through me wanting to, I'm going to someone to bring him closer to Hashem. He's then dominating to get me closer to Hashem. And that brings the core of her around because everyone is thinking about each other and receiving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu overall. And I think that's an important message. It's the same with bracha, parents to children, friends to friends, or people who are trying to just wish well to anybody else. The idea is we're wishing brachas because we want what's best for you, right? And we'll dive into you. But who do we know the bracha comes from? The makar of bracha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not us. But when we intensify our tefillos on other people's behalf, we're showing we care about them. We care about human life. We care about Etzelem Elokim. We care about Neshama. That causes Hashem to say, okay, you care about my people. You care about everybody else. I care about you too. That's the Midukanka's meaning. But we have to show it. We have to show that feeling and sensitivity. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz told, in a time of war when they would have control, he would, for a long period of time, not sleep on a bed. He would sleep on the floor. And when asked, he's an older person, why is he doing that? Say, how could I sleep on a bed when I know there's soldiers out there and there's people out there risking their lives and they can't sleep? How can I sleep when they're not sleeping? How can I sleep comfortably when they're not sleeping? He felt for another Jew, he felt for another human being, and he showed something, he did something about it. So for us, maybe we're not on these high madrigas to have such a strong feeling, but a feeling at least, a feeling for a life, stop and pause for a moment during Shemoneh Esrei. When we daven for refuos, when we daven in Shemei Tzvila, when we daven for the well-being of Klai Yisrael, for Shalom, stop and think about people who suffered, people who Nebuch, think about their families, think about them for a moment. Think about them. Daven to them. Daven that their children should be taken care of, their families should be taken care of. Daven, have a feeling. There was a loss of life here. I can't just be cold. I can't be cold because then I'm missing a boat. I have to be warm. I have to be filled with Ava and Bracha. And I have to want the Bracha that just like, if I'm Zocha Baruch Hashem, we're Zocha that Hashem is taking care of us, and we're healthy, and we're doing well, that same health and that same Hashmah, we should go to other people too. Share the wealth, share the health, share the everything with everybody else. We shouldn't be looking selfishly just for ourselves. And that's really the biggest insight here. As we're in this long galus, and we know that Chazal tell us, Sina Schinam has kept us here, Sina for nothing, and the famous question is asked, you don't really hate somebody for nothing. You obviously have a reason to hate him, right? So why is it called Sina Schinam? And I saw a beautiful pshat, and Rabbi Yosef Talman says, Sina Schinam means the following. Of course, you may have a reason, but what is the reason based off of? Most of the time, the true sinner that we have to another person comes from our own thoughts. Right? We're jealous of this person, we're this or that person, we don't like that. And then we create the animosity out of nothing. We create it out of nowhere. Yes, there's times when someone does something to you and maybe you have a legitimate reason to be upset. But again, everything comes from Hashem either way. Right? But before that, if you really analyze how many times we get upset at people or issues or whatever's going on, a lot of it comes from Hashem. It comes from nothing. It comes from things that we develop, the ideas we have in our head, and thoughts we have in our minds, or jealousies we have in our minds. And that creates friction and tension. So what do we need to do to turn it around? Out of chinam. Well, you know where it starts? Just like that chinam, that nothing thought, the zero, the thoughts that are in our heads, which are not a reality, but a figment of our imagination, is what stirred and creates the division between us and our fellow Jews and fellow human beings as well. So too, we need to start reversing that effect. I haven't seen it. That we have to think differently about people. We have to pause about people. We have to soak it in. Get it into our head. That a human life is special, precious. And every person is chashuv in the eyes of Hashem. We have to take the value of human life and bring it home more, think about it more, dwell on it more. And yet, Hashem, with that awareness that we bring to ourselves, of a heightened awareness, of Abba and Kavod HaBrios, as Birchas Kohanim, demanding of us, and Shalom, the greatness of Shalom. What is the greatness of Shalom? Shalom pulls it all together. It's a complete picture. Shalom just doesn't mean peace. It means Shleimus, it's completeness. We are complete when we're really doing our job and connecting to everybody around us. We're not doing our job and we're not complete when we close our eyes and look away. So we need to always react. And it starts first in our head, starting to get more sensitivity towards the world around us. So maybe all, hopefully, Metz Hashem, take the messages to heart from Michael Kainan, take the Kedusha of Aaron, the Av of Aaron, keep on spreading it. And spreading it, start internally and let it go and go and grow. And in Yisrael Hashem, you tremendous Abba for everybody around us, and that will create a world just like the world turned over very quickly into a different type of world in the last couple of months. Don't think we can't turn the world around either with that tefillah and a true irrigation for other people. We can do that as well. It just takes a lot more effort. In Yisrael Hashem, we should be successful in that effort. And bring the Kula Shalema in here. V'yamin. Okay. Shkaiach, guys. Okay. Should all have a good Shabbos, guys. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi. You too.
Slacha Rabba. Slacha Rabba. All the best.
Sorry, I was late. I apologize. I struggled with the Zoom getting in. I was dialing the number and using it as...
Listen, Spiegel, you know what? Listen, we know who the guys are, the real steadies, you know? Okay, it's okay. We'll let you come in a few minutes late this time because I love you. That's all you say tonight. Okay, Spiegel? I love you, and I give you that bracha.